Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
When we fear the Lord, we're going to make right decisions. It doesn't matter what the old boy club wants us to do. It doesn't matter what people are saying on Facebook. It doesn't matter what some other teenagers are doing. I've got a greater fear in my heart for God than I do for these people, you see. That's how Moses was. Moses had a great respect and awe for God in his heart.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and He has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Breaking Out of Satan's Compromise.
Well, throughout the scriptures, God is calling people to himself. God wants a relationship with you. Christianity is not about a relationship with a church. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And God wants a relationship with you. And he's very jealous of that relationship. In fact, if you've ever studied the Ten Commandments, it begins in Exodus 20 when God says, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Now, in a very God-like way, God has a loving jealousy for you, and he wants to walk with you and talk with you, and he wants you to acknowledge his presence in your life. And so we have, on the one hand, God calling the children of Israel out to be with him and calling you out. That's why you're here today. God called you out to be with him, to hear his word. But as surely as God is calling us to be with himself, Satan is pulling us away from God. And Satan's trying to cut little deals to keep us out of church, out of the Bible, and less committed. Satan is always pulling on us so that we don't go all the way over there with God. He's always trying to pull us back so that we would not fully surrender. In the New Testament, the Bible speaks about the flesh pulling against the spirit, and the spirit pulling against the flesh. So in the book of Exodus, it's all about God calling the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, "I want my people out." And he says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." That's what God is doing here. And throughout the scriptures, God is calling his people unto himself. And when God wants to warn his people about the world, the flesh, the devil, the wrong way of living, he often refers to the nation of Egypt as a picture, as an illustration of what he's calling us from. For example, in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3, we read, "When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full," talking about Egypt as a place of consumption of lust. It was a place of lust. Egypt was a place where people just thought of themselves and filled themselves up. That was one of the pictures of Egypt. Egypt was also a place of idolatry. So when God spoke about Egypt, he spoke about their bondage. And in Deuteronomy 29:17, it says, "Ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them." And so when we read about Egypt, we read about a picture of what Satan wants to do. He wants to pull us into a place of bondage and idolatry and far away from God. And whether you recognize it or not, there's a constant pull to pull us away from fellowship with the Lord in this world in which we live, through the media, through people at work, through Satan's demonic powers. There's a constant pull. And Egypt is a picture of the pull of the world. And so throughout the book of Exodus, God says, "I want my people to leave Egypt, and I want them to go 3 days' journey out in the wilderness, and I want them to worship me, and I want their total attention." By the way, how many of you believe God deserves our attention once in a while? That's what God wants in our worship. That's why we hear the songs, and that's why we give, and that's why we're here, to give God our attention. Everything else gets our attention. Work gets our attention, and bills get our attention, and the yard gets our attention, and the neighbor's dog gets our attention. How many of you believe God deserves our attention this morning? So God says, I want you to come 3 days' journey. I want you to come out and spend some time with me. But you know the story, don't you? Pharaoh kept ignoring Moses. Pharaoh kept ignoring God. And so God begins to bring some plagues on Pharaoh. And God begins to judge Pharaoh and Egypt because they would not let his people go. By the way, we live in a land where increasingly people hate God. Increasingly, people have this spirit against the things of God. But people that hate God, people that hate the thought of marriage, people that have been burned and become bitter, many times harden their hearts. And in this hardened day, you would think with hurricanes and difficulties and earthquakes and shootings, somebody would stop and say, God, we repent and we need your help. But Pharaoh would never repent. And so God brought the plagues upon Egypt. This is not a fairy tale. It's very well documented in secular as well as sacred literature. God turned the Nile and all the fresh water to blood in chapter 7. Frogs plagued Egypt in chapter 8. Lice came down as well in chapter 8. The flies came down and swarmed all upon Egypt. Cattle had disease. There were boils, hail mixed with fire. There was locusts. There was darkness. And finally, there was the death of the firstborn. All of this because Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not listen to God. He would not let his people to go. And so when we come to the Word of God in chapter 8, we see Moses holding faithful, bringing the message to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is not yet letting the people go, but he's going to begin to offer some compromise plans. You see, the devil's never willing to let you fully surrender to God. He's never going to let that happen, but he'll try to play let's make a deal with you. He'll try to get you to go a little way with God, but not all the way with God. And that's what Pharaoh tries to do. I want you to see this in four temptations that Pharaoh offers, and follow with me very quickly. First, there was the temptation to conform. There was a temptation to conform. Now come back to verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Would you say those words again? In the land. So here we have a conforming invitation. They could go sacrifice as long as they didn't completely leave the land. In other words, Pharaoh's saying, just stay here among our idols, among our wickedness. It's as if he was saying, you can kind of, you know, have your Christianity, but don't get carried away with it. Just kind of stay here and kind of hang out and do what you've always done. Now, in the New Testament, it says this in 1 Corinthians 6:17 for us who are Christians. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, that was referring to pagan idol worship in the first century. It could refer to other idols. It could refer to the idol of alcoholism or sensuality. Whatever it was in your past, God says, after you get saved, I want you to come out from that, and I want you to come all the way unto me. Come out and be separate. And God had said to Moses, I want my children to go 3 days away from all this nonsense, from all these idols, and I want them to worship me there. I want their total attention there. Now, how many of you know that in this type of a conforming invitation, there is sometimes a peer pressure? It's sort of like someone says, well, you know, you cannot get a raise, you cannot get a promotion unless you go to the officers' club, unless you hang out with the boys afterward. And you can still be a Christian and everything. It's okay if you go to church and stuff. But just kind of hang out with the crowd. Just kind of do what we do. Maybe laugh at a dirty joke or something. Just kind of stay in the land, man. Don't go all the way out for God. Just, you know, you can be religious, but stay in the land. This is what Pharaoh was saying. There was an interview done with a man who had lived to be 100 years old, and they asked him this question. They said, what do you think is the best thing about being your age? And he said, well, no peer pressure. And, you know, we talk about these 19 and 20-year-olds and how they get peer pressure to do dumb things and sometimes even just mark their bodies and get wasted because of peer pressure. But how many of you would admit peer pressure affects everybody? And imagine the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh, saying, all right, look it. Here's how you can worship your God. Just do it in the land. But notice the courageous response of Moses. In verse 26, he says something interesting. Moses said, it is not meet to so do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Now, if you're taking notes, take note of that word abomination. And this is what it means. In the nation of Egypt, people would worship the very animals that the Jews were going to sacrifice. So they would worship the ram. They would worship the innocent lamb. They were polytheistic. They worshiped many different kinds of God. The god Isis, many other gods they worshiped in Egypt. And so what Moses was saying is, Pharaoh, if we stay in the middle of Egypt, we're going to be killing the very stuff that you worship. In fact, notice what he says there in verse number 26. He says, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? In other words, if we kill these animals, they're going to stone us because we're violating their law right in front of them. So Moses refuses to stay in the land. In fact, Moses decides to obey God. Verse 27, notice it says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Moses said, Pharaoh, I don't care how much pressure you put on me, I am going to go 3 days with God. I don't care if people make fun of us. I don't care if we look like nuts. We're going to go out in the middle of the desert. We're going to worship God the way that he said we should. Would be to God that every teenager that is tempted with some type of premarital sex or some type of drinking or some type of drug, would be to God that every Christian teenager that's tempted to live an ungodly life would say, I'm going to obey God. God, and I don't care who makes fun of me. I'm not staying there. I'm going to come out here and obey God. Now, this is the spirit of the text. The spirit of the text is that we need a courageous response when we are tempted to compromise. And so we see the temptation to conform. Folks, it's so subtle and it comes upon us and we don't even recognize how the good old boys want us to conform and how sometimes the television's pushing us to conform and so forth. And we see here, first of all, the temptation to conform. Notice secondly, there is the temptation to compromise. Now, notice what Pharaoh says in verse 28. This is amazing. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Now, compromise is keeping oneself close enough to the world to still be influenced by it and yet kept in bondage by it. So what Satan is saying is, all right, look it, you can go worship God, just don't get carried away with it. Just don't go all the way with this thing. Notice the key phrase in verse 28. Ye shall not go very far away. You know, you don't need to do like the Sunday night, for heaven's sake. You don't need to, you know, do like the discipling. I mean, you can go along with this Christianity, Satan says. Just don't go too far with it. And he says that to many, many people today. And it's amazing to me how many churches are accommodating that. People want less, so they give less. They want less preaching, they give less preaching. More entertainment, they give it. Why? Because there's this idea that people don't want to go very far. By the way, how many of you know we're not here to worship each other, we're here to worship God today. That's the purpose of it, to worship the living God. Now, let me just pull over here for just a quick minute to say, Jesus is not the road marker or the map. Jesus is exactly what the Bible said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But you see, when the devil says, don't go very far, I mean, don't be so adamant, don't be so fundamental about, you know, Jesus, don't get so carried away with it. Pretty soon you have what we call an accommodating theology. That is where even churches begin to accommodate the world's belief into their philosophy. And so we see that there is, first of all here, a compromising proposal that is made. Don't go too far away. And oh, how we need to be careful with that. Because of peer pressure, Many times a girl feels weird to be modest, or a boy feels weird not to cuss, and they feel weird to carry a Bible maybe to lunch or whatever. And we need to recognize we're not called to be weirdos or idiots, but we're called to be different. And listen, the men and women who have changed this world are the men and women the world could not change. And God is calling on us to be faithful today in our generation. I love the quote found in the Bible Exposition Commentary. "Don't go too far away," the enemy whispers, "or people will call you a fanatic. Demolish that proposal." The enemy says, "Don't go too far away." Well, you don't want to be a fanatic. Now, I get a kick out of that, because how many of you know Dodger fans don't mind being called Dodger fans? Right? Green Bay Packer fans, fans wear cheese on their head. They don't mind being fanatic for their team. Listen, never be ashamed of being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Just simply recognize that it's our privilege. And James chapter 4 and verse 4 says it this way, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." So when Pharaoh said, "Hey Moses, look at you can go, but just stay right here close to the world. Don't go too far." Moses knew that that just wasn't going to be the case. You can't be the friend of the world and the friend of God. And many Christians today want both ways. And God was simply saying to Moses, "Moses, I want you to go 3 days journey. I want you to come out and be separate and worship me with your whole attention." And so Pharaoh said, "Stay near to the world, stay connected to the world." But God says, "Love not the world." You know what I found? Sometimes we fear men so much because we fear God so little. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Say it with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of. So when we fear the Lord, we're going to make right decisions. It doesn't matter what the old boy club wants us to do. It doesn't matter what people are saying on Facebook. It doesn't matter what some other teenagers are doing. I've got a greater fear in my heart for God than I do for these people, you see. That's how Moses was. Moses had a great respect and awe for God in his heart. So here we see a compromising proposal. Notice a very considerate response. Moses in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 30. Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses and removed the swarm of the flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Look at this, Exodus 8:31. And there remained not one. How many of you would agree with me if there was not one fly left in Egypt, that was a miracle? I mean, that's like the 11th miracle in this story, I'm telling you right now. So, you know, Moses goes out and he actually prays for Pharaoh. I mean, what a considerate and godly man. But Pharaoh kept tempting him. He said, "First of all, look at Moses. Why don't you just stay in the land? Just be like us. Don't be too different." And he's trying to tell some of you that. Yeah, go to church, but don't change anything else. And then he says, all right, Moses, look at you can worship your God, but don't go too far with this thing. Don't get carried away. And so it is. Many Christians are kind of accommodating the world today. Well, notice thirdly, a third temptation. Maybe you've been tempted to conform. Maybe you've been tempted to compromise your convictions. But notice the third one, a temptation to corrupt. And every one of you that have children, I want you to pay attention for the next 5 minutes, because I want you to know that Satan wants to corrupt families. He wants to divide families. In other words, he's like, "All right, you can have the old generation, but give me the kids." That's the devil's. Listen, that didn't start with communism. That started with Satan. Say, really? All right, well, let's look at what he says here. Exodus 10. Everybody got your Bible open? All right, Exodus 10:8. "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go?" So now he's not talking about where. Now he's saying, who's going to go with you, right? Look at this. "And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." How many of you get the idea? Moses was sold out lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, everything and everyone was going to go and worship the Lord. Verse 10, "And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you." This is what the Lord said to Moses. Verse 11, this is Pharaoh. "Not so, Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So notice here a divisive proposal. And here's the proposal of Pharaoh. It divides family unity. Pharaoh is saying this, you take the men, but leave the women and the children behind. And this is what the devil says today. Oh, you can have, you know, the greatest generation. You can have those people that want to have their tent meeting and sing to the Lord and have their time of worship. That's for the old fogies anyway. But let the children stay behind and watch HBO and play demonic games. And just leave the children behind, Moses. You can go out there and do the religious thing, but you leave the children behind. By the way, Karl Marx, the infamous communist, said the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. And many Christians, and I'm not speaking to any one person here today, I hope you're not doing this, but many Christians today, if they were honest, they're allowing the public school and the media to influence their children more than they influence their children. Now I'm talking about a public school system that teaches that we all came from monkeys and all of these types of things, and we let them become indoctrinated with these wicked philosophies, and then we let them come home and watch it on the television, and you're doing exactly what the devil wants. Hey, you do your little church thing out there, but give me the minds of your children. And that is exactly what the devil wants us to do, and that's how he divides families. And oh, how we need to have a passion. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many people say, well, we just let our children make up their own mind. They're good kids. They're rotten sinners. What are you talking about? And I'm just telling you, people who say, well, I just let my children make up their own mind, that's not what the Bible says. You're listening to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like, hey, just keep your kids here in Egypt. You go out there and do the worship thing, but I'll take care of the children. It's like the devil's plan, you see, to separate a family. Little boy came to school late, and he walked into class, and his teacher said, where have you been? He said, I'm sorry, I just running late, and my mom and dad were fighting. The teacher said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but you live three doors down from the school. I mean, you could have just gotten here. He said, no, ma'am. He said, you see, my mom had one of my shoes in one hand, and my dad had one of my shoes in the other hand. There's a lot of families like that today, divided. Listen, husbands and wives, walk with Jesus together. Defer to one another. And obey the Lord together and bring your children on the journey. You see, here this proposal divides family unity. It destroys family heritage. Notice this, if you would, the destroying of family heritage. Verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for ye did this ye did desire. You see, Pharaoh is saying, all right, you guys go, but let's not have the whole family in the heritage. Let's not all of us be so committed. So there is a divisive proposal, but notice a committed response. Verse 9, did you see what Moses said in verse 9? We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herd, we will go. Thank the Lord again for men in this room who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when our kids hit those teenage years, they get a little rebellious and they want to ask why, I'm going to tell them the best I can, but I'm going to show them through my life by a consistent example. I'm going to pray for my children. I'm going to model faithfulness before my children. I'm going to talk about the Bible and God and creation and mercy and God's love, and I'm going to be a faithful testimony before them.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.